Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer, not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Put on your thinking caps. Today I have a show for those of you who like to be educated. If not, pass on this one. I gotta do it. We all have experience one way or another, somewhere along the line, with that ominous word biopsy. Not just for cancer, but a biopsy, which is a tissue collection, fine needle aspiration, or a deep needle core biopsy, where your doctor, listening to your symptoms of a particular organ, decides to go in and pull out a piece of your tissue and sends it to a pathologist to look at it under an electron microscope. Now, even if you haven't had one, you've heard of a biopsy. What I want to do today is give you an understanding of what that's about in a more specific sense. Because if you'll take the time to get a little education, you'll see that there's lots of nuances about a biopsy that can actually give you very good news. And I mean, above and beyond, everything's okay. A biopsy, or a biopsy that you've had where you've found that everything's okay, is not really a good biopsy. A biopsy should tell you what stage of decay your cell is in, whether it's a normal cell or whether it's a cancerous cell or a disease-ridden cell, is not good enough. When you get a biopsy, you don't want the black and white answer. You want all the stuff in between, because that's where preventative medicine really works. So I'm going to get into this today. Today's show I titled Inflammation Thermography. We're going to bring in thermography today and biopsy, how they define your health. And if, again, I can get this concept to you, well, then you can take it to another level in your own health repertoire. So let us begin. First of all, as always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's not .com. That's straighttalk.cc with two T's. Look at the pictures. I got tons of pictures. First, we've got to define a few terms. Those of you who may have at one time suffered and didn't complete or did complete a science major in biology and biochemistry, so on and so forth, may remember a class you had to take along the way called histology. Histology is the study of the normal cell. Meaning, if we talk about an organ, say the liver or the kidney or the brain or the heart or the spleen or the pancreas or your bone marrow or the lining of your gastrointestinal system, if we take a cell and we take that cell and we look at it under a microscope, ultimately an electron microscope, histology defines what a normal cell looks like. You got to have that one down. You got to know what a normal cell looks like. Because then ultimately you have to understand pathology, which under an electron microscope, a pathologist studies a cell, and the pathologist knows the difference between the normal cell and the abnormal cell, and therefore is in a position after a biopsy where they take your tissue out to tell the medical doctor who interfaces with you whether the cell has crossed a line into irreversible disease. Cancer is just one type of a disease that a pathologist will determine after biopsy underneath an electron microscope. Now, I wouldn't do a show on this. What I'm doing the show on is, well, the kind of thing I love to do shows on, and that is how you, John Q. Public, interested in your health, can extract a greater deal of information, a a greater amount of information from a biopsy by understanding just what's going on. And normally the public is void of this. They're told, we're going to do a biopsy and see, start praying, renew your vows, keep your fingers crossed, and hope it comes back okay. Oh my God, my biopsy was okay. Case closed. Go back to your normal life. Okay, this is not what it's about. We can use biopsies in very creative ways. But to do that, you have to first understand some terms. Histology, as I define it. Pathology, as I defined it. Now, the pathology that crosses that line to a disease is where all the focus is. Here's what they don't tell you, that between a normal cell and that disease line, between that normal cell and the bad news, are many stages of cellular transformation. I'm going to repeat that. Between the normal cell that histologists study and bad news that the pathologist determines, that writes a report and sends it to the MD, and the MD gives you the bad news, you have an irreversible disease. You have cancer, whatever. Between that are many stages of cellular transformation that are going on long before you may even have a symptom, that are going on long before you have the disease. You think this is a little point. It's not a little point. It's a big point. I'll cut to the chase and then go backwards. Lots of people will have stages along the way towards disease that they don't understand are pushing towards disease. If you have a first grade dysplasia, you're going to go home generally thinking you're okay. Even a second grade dysplasia off a biopsy, you're going to go home thinking you're okay. We'll watch it. We'll look at it. We'll pray. This is where the medical profession is ripping you off, not intentionally, but by their definition of their scope of practice. What they're designed to do is tell you that cell that they're looking at under an electron microscope has crossed a line. You have a disease, and now it's time to cut it out or nuke it or give it surgery or some sort of pharmaceutical or surgical option. That's what they do. And if that cell hasn't crossed the line into that, they won't do that. Now, this is what you got to catch. This is where those thinking caps have to be on. What you have to catch is, in their worldview, until that cell crosses the line into danger, disease, there's nothing you can do. If you ever ask a medical doctor, let alone a pathologist, you should try that conversation on for size. You know, we don't normally talk to pathologists. I do. But if you talk to a pathologist, which is someone you, as the public, never get to see, you just read their names on the biopsy. But if you ever talk to a pathologist, they can discourse endlessly about the stages of transformation toward the disease. But if you ask them what you can do about it, forget it, they're lost. So you really got to get the ramification of this. The ramification, the consequence of the medical community not thinking there's anything you can do to turn around metaplasia, to turn back dysplasia, that it's all irreversible, that these cellular transformations are moving towards disease, and it's just your genetics. Really. Remember last week, the show on genetics? They go from biopsy, looks a little funny, nothing you can do. But if it hits the genetic marker, meaning if the genes turn on, we cross the line into disease, and then we know what to do. But all those stages that pathology will recognize before you get the disease that you can see on biopsy aren't of concern. Aren't of concern in the sense there's nothing you can do, so why focus on it? It's simply, you got the disease or you don't got the disease. That's where the scam is. Not a scam. That's where the myopia is. The short-sightedness. That's where you have to get really hooked in. All right. If you're on the site, straighttalk.cc, if you're driving, I'll try to describe it. But I'm going to throw down some words, okay? Words are super important today. I'm going to throw down a word called metaplasia. Metaplasia. That's M-E-T-A-P-L-A-S-I-A. Okay? So I'm going to throw down that word, metaplasia. Metaplasia, if you define it, is when one cell type, a type of cell, transforms to a different type of cell. And an example of that is your lungs. Your lungs, or the inside, I should say, of your bronchial tubes, are lined with a special type of cell. It's called a ciliated columnar cell. It's a rectangular-shaped cell. This is the inner lining of your bronchioles. It's lined with a certain type of cell called a respiratory columnar cell. That cell's got hairs on it, cilia. That cilia is so important because as you breathe in that fine Los Angeles air on a hot, smoggy day down by LAX, where you had to go, unfortunately, as you breathe in that fine air, the cilia in the bronchi push, they capture, and they push upwards all the particulate matter that will otherwise kill you. That's an important job. Of course it is. If you were to swallow all the small particulate matter, inhale into your lungs, unchallenged by the cilia, all the garbage in LA air, your lungs are going to take a harsh beating. You're going to get sick. So God, in his infinite wisdom, evolved a rectangularly shaped ciliated columnar cell lining all our bronchioles. Perfect. If you stress that cell, like if you smoke, or if you just stress the cell along the lines of the air you breathe is super, super polluted. It's just a relentless assault on those ciliated cells. They change structure. They change their morphology. This is called metaplasia. One cell type changes into another cell type. That transformation is called metaplasia. Okay, so what happens in your bronchii, your bronchioles? The respiratory columnar ciliated cells change to a squamous cell. A squamous cell, metaphorically, is a tough, rubbery cell. It has no cilia. It's callous. It's much tougher. And if you stress a more delicate ciliated columnar cell, it'll metaplace into a squamous cell. Now, the problem with that, and you probably guessed it, is that a squamous cell doesn't have cilia. So if you've had enough stress to the cells in the lining of the bronchioles, the bronchi, the columnar ciliated cell, it undergoes metaplasia to a squamous cell, loses its cilia, and now you have big problems. Now you don't capture all the garbage going down into your lungs. This is what we see as precursors to bronchiectasis, I think maybe emphysema, pulmonary fibrosis, definitely bronchiectasis. Now there's a disease sequela. You get a cell that's normal. It changes to another kind of cell. And once it changes to another kind of cell, that cell loses function. And once the cell loses function, more stresses build up inside that organ where that cell is. And once those concentrations of garbage build up, finally the cells become insane and they start pressing all sorts of panic buttons. And this is where you have progressive degenerative disease all the way to cancer. So, metaplasia. Going to introduce a term. You cough a lot. You get pneumonia. You get bronchitis 3 times a year. You were a smoker. You just feel something's wrong down there. They give you x-rays, scans, blood tests. Finally, somebody says, you know what? We're going to go down there and pull out a piece of your bronchi. And we're going to send it to a pathologist. The pathologist is going to study it. And he may say, early stage metaplastic changes of this tissue to that tissue. Now, that's one type of finding. In this case, you want to know something? It's one of the better findings. Why? Metaplasia is largely reversible. You understand if you stopped the progression of most diseases in the early stages, when, theoretically at least, you could see the changes under an electron microscope. That's what we'd call real medicine. Can you imagine going in long before you got sick, 5 years, 10 years? I see this all the time. I see people going and getting biopsies all the time for stuff they should have been told in the early stages they had and that they needed to reverse or arrest or stop. It's never put to them that way, if it's put to them that way at all. You have to know that. You have to know it for a couple of reasons. Number one, when they do give you the biopsy and you get the good news, that is not the end of the conversation. That is the beginning of the conversation. You must understand that. If you get nothing from this show other than a headache from trying to follow it, if you get nothing from this show outside of listening to it again on the website, if you get nothing from this show, you must remember, when you get a biopsy and they tell you, hopefully, you're fine, that is the beginning of the conversation. What you're supposed to do is go in and get the specifics. Did that pathologist look at normal cells? Are we telling you, Mrs. Smith, that you're fine, that you're normal, that your kidney, your lungs, your brain, your whatever are normal simply because we did the biopsy and we don't see any changes at all in those cells? Or are we saying there's a number of transformations, but we're not in the danger zone yet? Which is it? You have to get that from the show, because that can save your life. That can save you surgery. That can save you chronic, progressive, sometimes irreversible disease. And again, those of you who believe you get great medical care, that you go, I get a lot of people like that. They tell me I only work with the best. And they'll always read off the long list of people they've seen with credentials up the yin-yang. I mean, just very impressive, impeccable schools and credentials and associations with the biggest hospitals and awards by the Queen of England and the rest of it. And here's the bottom line. If you're falling prey to the standard medical model, you have no more protection going to Harvard than you do in the hood. And that is the absolute truth. Your best doctors simply follow the standard of care in a better way. So how does that protect you? You're just as likely to be told off a biopsy that you're fine, case closed, when you ought to be told you're in the first or second stage of metaplasia. Somebody on their way to a lung disease could have been told long earlier, you're on your way to disease and you better stop it now. You're not. Again, why? Yes, I'm repeating myself. Again, why? Because they don't think there's anything you can do. Now, if you get to the website, you're going to see metaplasia. If you look at picture 26, take a look at picture 26. Metaplasia, definition. It is a reversible change in a differentiated cell. It is always pathological. Yes, metaplasia, even though it's reversible, you got to catch that. You know, I don't make this stuff up, I tell you. This is the problem in the holistic department. We're so optimistic, we exaggerate. Can't exaggerate. You got to go back to the foundation of hard science and look at it with a creative eye. Not jump out of the bounds of science and fantasize. When something is normally known as irreversible, it's irreversible. But if you just rest behind that, you can go back in. If you go back into the science, you're going to find so many things are deemed irreversible that are not irreversible. They are clearly defined in the medical chambers as totally reversible. Here it is, metaplasia. Definition. It is a reversible change occurring in a differentiated cell. It is always pathological, which means it's not normal. If it becomes irreversible, it is called dysplasia. Now, dysplasia is another animal. Dysplasia is a little more serious. However, the early stages of dysplasia are also reversible, and that is also in the medical texts. But I don't want to get to dysplasia yet. I just want to stick to metaplasia, and I think you've got a decent understanding. I'll give you another example. Esophageal cancer, the esophagus, something called Barrett's esophagus. That esophagus, the minute you swallow, the food hits the esophagus, moves its way down, a lot of oil and mucus in there. Food hits the bottom just before it pops into the stomach. There's a short couple of inches there just before it pops into the stomach as the esophagus goes through the hole in the diaphragm, constricted by the central tendon of the diaphragm and the cardiac sphincter, just before that food dips in, that last couple of inches of esophagus. There's an area where some people get what we call Barrett's esophagus. Again, Barrett's esophagus, some of you listening have been diagnosed with this, is a metaplastic change in the lower end of the esophagus. Reading right out of the medical text, Barrett's esophagus is defined as the replacement of the normal squamous mucosa, squamous cells. So now it's reversed from what I was citing earlier with the lung. In the esophagus, the normal cell is a squamous cell, but then it gets replaced by columnar epithelium containing a special kind of cell called a goblet cell. Barrett's esophagus, which about 15% of the time, well, I think it's 10 to 15% will go to cancer. Actually, I'm going to pull that stat back. I'm not sure what the exact statistic is, but it is definitely prodromal to esophageal cancer. It is definitely pathological. It is definitely an important thing to know you've got. But it's only a metaplastic change. It's only a change from a squamous cell to a columnar cell. Again, it's metaplasia. And again, it's reversible. Go find somebody to tell you that. Go find somebody in pathology to tell you it's reversible. The medical texts will tell you it's reversible. And here's the key. In practice, nobody ever sees it reverse. You got to get this distinction. It's so critical you understand this distinction. There are language barriers. There are communication challenges when you speak to your pathologists or your medical doctors or you read biopsies. Of course, we know that. There's communication challenges, and one distinction that has to be made is the difference between the ideal scientific reality, case in point, that metaplasia is reversible, and the fact that if nobody tells you it is, and nobody tells you you can do something about it, and nobody does something about it even if they could, you never see it happen. So in clinical practice, what is your medical doctor going to tell you? They're going to tell you it's not reversible. What are they going to tell you? Listen, be happy. We don't have to do anything yet. often this leads to a bigger problem. We may be able to give you a drug, like in the case of Barrett's esophagus. They're going to give you a proton pump inhibitor, which has lots of dangerous side effects. But you may be on a proton pump inhibitor many years before you get esophageal cancer. Or they're going to do nothing if there's nothing they can do. They're going to tell you, let's just watch it. Now, commonly, that is what you're told. When the textbooks will contradict that. Again, my point. If no one's going to do anything anyway, what the medical doctor is going to be filled with is 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 years of clinical experience seeing nothing ever change. And that's what you bring to your patient, your clinical experience. You've long forgotten what's in the textbooks. You know, textbooks, scientific experiments, those are considered a piece of it. In the end, the clinician, the doctor that you see, considers his word the word. And the reason they do that is because, well, it's kind of true. In the end, it's experience. So in all good faith and all good ethics, the doctor is telling you it's not reversible because he never sees it get reversed. This is just one of those examples where you get the screw. And it's not because anybody wants to give you one. It's simply because there are other models that look at this that do reverse metaplasias. I'll give you an example. And ladies, you'll all know this example. How many of you, when you get your pap smear, have been told you have a grade 1 or a grade 2 or a grade 3 cervical dysplasia? Now think about that. Cervical dysplasia. How many of you can recall a friend of yours, perhaps you yourself, a loved one, being told you've got a cervical dysplasia? Your cells on the inside of the cervix, the tip of the cervix, have metaplast. They've gone dysplastic. They've changed form towards what ultimately could be cervical cancer, and we're glad we saw the beginning of it on the pap smear. And how many of you know a friend, a loved one, or you yourself that have gone back 6 months, a year later, and it reversed itself? Now there, I rest my case. I rest my case. There's one fine example of how a dysplastic cell can reverse itself. Well, guess what? Dysplasia can reverse itself all over the body. That's interesting. It's something you're never told. And again, if you're not told, or if you don't do anything about it, even if you are told, well then, most of the time, things get worse. Not all the time, but most of the time, things get worse. So when we start to see the early stages of metaplasia, or the early stages of dysplasia, well then we start to see the beginning of a sequela that ends up with disease, or ultimately with cancer. Cancer being one of the many diseases. The difference between metaplasia and dysplasia. Well, last week we talked about the DNA, and we talked about DNA replication a little bit. When cells multiply, before they multiply, they have to replicate their DNA to pass it on to the next cell. And there's a full sequence of stages that the cell goes through. In your worst forms of cancer, what happens, for lots of reasons, is a cell that normally doesn't replicate, say a brain cell. Brain cells are not in the habit of replicating, right? If you have a brain cell and it begins to replicate, only every time it replicates, it's an aborted replication. The next cell that replicated doesn't look like the original cell. It looks like an embryonic form of the original cell. That's a bad sign. I'm going to make an example so you really understand this, and it's so important that you do understand this. Take a fetus, A fetus in the first 9 weeks, a fetus in the first 3 months, a fetus in 6 months, and a fetus at 8 months. Each of those fetuses at 9 weeks, at 3 months, at 6 months, at 8 months, each of those fetuses look very different. They're still fetuses. When you have a cell that normally doesn't replicate, like a brain cell or a kidney cell, or even if it does normally replicate, it doesn't matter. And when that cell is done replicating, it still looks like a fetus instead of an adult cell. That's the beginning of dysplasia. Dysplasia is when the cell replicates not to the adult cell, but to a fetal state. And the stages of dysplasia have to do with whether that replicated cell looks like a fetus at 9 weeks, or at 3 months, or at 6 months, or at 8 months. At somewhere along the line, that fetus is going to be so fetal, means so young in its replication stage, that it crosses a line into what they call cancer. So you go from dysplasia grade 1 to dysplasia grade 2 to dysplasia grade 3 to what we call anaplasia, which is cancer. Cancer then operates with a whole different set of rules. It's like cells gone crazy, stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, and then bingo, you have a Frankenstein on your hands. Great pictures of it. If you're not on the website, please get to it. Most of you still listen on the radio. That amazes me. You're multitasking, doing your things. Well, good that you listen no matter what. If you're driving, obviously. But if you can get to the site, picture 19 and picture 20. I want you to look at those pictures and see these stages of dysplasia. You're going to see a normal cell. You're going to see a mild dysplasia. You're going to see a moderate dysplasia. You're going to see a severe dysplasia. They're going to show you three different layers, stages of dysplasia, all of which the pathologist can ascertain on the biopsy. And then they're going to show you that line across which you get cancer. Well, dysplasias are reversible. Cervical dysplasia is one example. All the dysplasias are reversible. And of course, those listening to my show know what that means. The million-dollar question to you is, if you're in a stage of dysplasia and you weren't told, and you heard this show and you went out, you got your biopsy, you took it back to your doctor or another educated professional, you had your biopsy read. Sure enough, you were in some moderate stage of dysplasia, and rather than kicking back and waiting for potentially the worst, you decided to get on it. You decided to do something about it. What would you do? I hope you're not asking what herb you would take. Not to me on this show. Anyone telling you this is an herb that reverses dysplasia? Well, I don't know about that. Don't want to be critical, but I would not be listening to that. I'd have that statement qualified. If an herb was going to reverse dysplasia, let's say it would be a tool amongst many tools, all combined, that would change, and here's the million-dollar word here, would change your terrain in such a way that the stresses to those cells would not force a progression of the dysplasia. That's why I record the shows for you. You got to listen to this show once or twice, three times, five times. Doesn't matter. You get these 321 shows down. You have an encyclopedia of practical knowledge. You have perspective. You got to have perspective so you know how to move yourself through the labyrinth of chronic illness. It's okay to go through the phase of I'm going to find some rocket scientist of a doctor, or I'm going to find some rocket scientist herb, a nutritional supplement, whoever, and I'm going to have my modern-day miracle. I wouldn't want to deny you that, but I do want to advise you strongly to understand that if you've suffered from chronic health concerns, symptomologies, diseases, stuff that hasn't killed you, but that's robbed your quality of life, you have to understand you're in a labyrinth. Any of you that have coursed through illness know what I'm talking about. You're in a labyrinth. It's a lonely place. Your family doesn't believe you're sick half the time. Even if they do, they can't handle it. So you're like the bug in Kafka's Metamorphosis. You're just being inadvertently pushed to a corner and forgotten about because you're too much to deal with in your relentless agony. That's a tough place to be. That's a labyrinth without a lantern. And what you must do, what I urge you to do, compel you to do, is not look for the magic bullet. Get educated so you can take intelligent action. And in that sometimes too dark of a journey, you will be redeemed. That's how you heal. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. It's not about giving you a supplement. It's about giving you concepts. And let those concepts activate you towards a healing. I strongly encourage you to see it my way. I didn't do this show the way I decided to do it for anything except that experience taught me that's how you get out of disease, by applying yourself to conceptual understanding. So the conceptual understanding here: dysplasia is reversible, but you must act radically to change the terrain, or dysplasia often leads to anaplasia. If not, you start to see changes in cell structure lead to other things, not cancer. Dysplasia has to do with replication cycles, and ultimately in anaplasia we say you have cancer. But suppose the cell is not going to go cancerous. It's just going to start looking really weird under an electron microscope. And it's on its way to a disease. See, renal failure or liver failure, kidney failure, dementia. So what does it look like then? Well, there's other words. One of the words is hypoplasia. Hypoplasia. The cell gets hypoplastic, hypoplasia, not hyper, not meta, not dysplasia. It's all with plasia at the end. Hypoplasia is a big word for all the cells fall off. The cells disappear. If your liver is made of a bunch of hepatocytes, hypoplasia means the liver cells are gone. If the filtration unit in the nephron, in the kidney, has what we call podocytes there, or podocytes, if in the kidney, as you approach renal failure, if they do a biopsy and they look at the nephron in the glomerulus and they don't see any podocytes, which is a key critical cell. The podocyte in the kidney is the cell that takes all the bad stuff to flush it down into the urine. And if you get a renal biopsy and there's no podocytes, you get hypoplasia of the podocyte. Podocyte hypoplasia, not metaplasia, not dysplasia, not anaplasia, but hypoplasia. It means the cells are gone. So in hypoplasia, the organ's falling apart because the cells that make the organ are just disappearing. They're dying. That's hypoplasia. So now you know metaplasia, which is squamous to epithelial or epithelial to squamous. The cell just changes shapes. And it's not good. It's pathological. Then there's dysplasia, grade 1, 2, 3, and anaplasia. That means the cell is in a abnormal replication cycle. It doesn't look like the adult cell after it's done replicating. It looks like some stage in the 9 months of fetal development. And when it really looks primordial, it might be called not dysplastic, it will be called anaplastic, and that's malignancy. If you just take the time to get this, you're going to be so happy. So happy. Just pretend it's a show on what to do with your money after retirement. Those shows are everywhere. These shows are nowhere. It's okay to think and understand market forces so you know what to do with your money. Do you want to understand forces that control your health? The answer for you is yes, you must. Applaud yourself for being ahead of the curve. The returns will come back to you many times. Classic example, how many people end up with debilitating, irreversible diseases or malignancies that were showing signs on biopsy of going there long before they were? You see this all the time. It doesn't ever dawn on people. Very few people, had they known, would not have acted conclusively. It's just that they're never told. You're told, just don't worry, we're not there yet, but we may be. Let's check it every 6 months or so. That's what you're told. What I'm telling you is where there's smoke, there's fire. If you are in some metaplastic state, some early dysplastic state, stop it in its tracks. How, you say, that's another show, but you see, those veterans of my show, those who've listened, know stop it in its tracks means get healthy. Those shows I do on the radical things, the 20 radical things I do for my health. There you go in a nutshell. You have to get radical. If you're in metaplastic states, if you're in dysplastic states, you got to get radical. It's more than just a few flushes a year. It's more than buying your food at Whole Foods. And yes, those things are good, but you know my point. The Medici point is, if you really want to see the miracle of holistic, you have to get radical. If you're in any of these stages, you have to get radical. Unless you get radical, you won't see a return. If you get radical, the return will be yours. All right, great stuff, huh? Great stuff. Got to get to the website for this stuff. You know, this thing about the terrain, this has been understood a long time. Way back in the 1800s, at the beginning of pathology, guys like Bernard, Beauchamp, Virchow were all screaming about change the terrain. You want to fix the cell? You want to fix the disease? Change the terrain. We lost that. Pasteur, with funding from the Rockefellers, the Pasteur Institute, not that it didn't do a certain amount of good. So you never want to get holistic radical. That's ignorant. Western medicine evolved for very good reasons to be respected, used, implemented, benefited by, and exalted. But you can't do one-stop shopping. You get really hurt, you fall out of a tree onto your head, you don't go to a naturopath or an acupuncturist or a nutritionist. You go to ER. At the same time, when you're in the ravages of chronic illness and people are telling you to just hang out and wait and spin around on the merry-go-round and pray that you'll be fine, that's when the standard of care in allopathic or Western medicine isn't working for you. Really, there's only one medicine, and that's the medicine that works. We really shouldn't have this distinction between the two. They're superfluous terms. You ought to be able to go to one doctor that's equipped to send you everywhere based on what works. There shouldn't be this distinction. That's really why we had science. Science would have not had a distinction had it really followed the right evolutionary course, but for another day. the terrain, which means how do you change metaplasia or dysplasia back to a normal cell, is about changing terrain. And Virchow and Claude Bernard and Beauchamp, these guys in the 1800s were all disagreeing largely with Pasteur and really laying the basic foundations for what we call natural medicine. And much of medicine then was natural medicine. It really and truly was. We didn't have too many drugs. We didn't have much surgical technique. That's why it's great to go back into the history of medicine and see what doctors did. When Guy Bryant writes the book on HCL therapy in the 30s, off 20, 30 years of using it, you can trust that kind of stuff. This is HCL therapy, Guy Bryant. The other book, 3 years of hydrochloric acid therapy. All the resurrective work Gerson did with coffee enemas and the Germans. When these things were used way back then, and when they were in the medical literature, it's because they worked. Did you know that medical school had large curriculums devoted to natural medicine? And after the 1930s, as we began and started producing more and more antibiotics, by the 40s, we had gutted most of the medical schools of the natural history of its curriculums, the natural medical part of its curriculums. So you got to understand, at one time, there was a very hybridized science. But by 1970, it was verboten. It was gone. Doctors don't even touch people anymore. If you read Barbara Bates's book on physical exam in medicine, she'll talk about touch as one of the primary tools for determining diagnosis. Touch is huge. Touch is bigger than you can imagine. And it's rarely done. So really, again, the point, there's one medicine. And that's the way you should think. You should think of being very embracing of the notion of hybridizing, taking the best. But again, you have to be able to think. The show asks you to think. Virchow was thinking. Beauchamp was thinking. Claude Bernard was thinking. Picture number 12, Claude Bernard. The terrain is everything. The germ is nothing. Claude Bernard. Highly credentialed men. Highly credentialed. They were not nutritionists. They were scientists. And yet at this tenuous time in medical history, they were saying what still rings true today. That if your cells are going dysplastic, if your cells are pushing towards anaplasia, if your cells are becoming increasingly metaplastic, if your cells are becoming hypoplastic, they're falling off, it's because they're not being fed. The environment stinks. It's sinking in. I feel you today, especially. I feel you really getting it today. Another word. I'm going to hit you with more words. Another word. Hyperplasia. Hyperplasia. Hyperplasia means you're producing more cells. The more cells you're producing, not the better. If you produce more cells and the body doesn't need more cells, that's no good. Fortunately, hyperplasia is better than dysplasia because the more cells are all normal. So you're producing more cells, which isn't a great sign, but at least those cells are normal. So the safeguards have not broken down. That's hyperplasia. Then there's a really important terminology. Go to picture 24, those of you on the site. Hypertrophy. I want to talk about hypertrophy. You really got to respect that word. Hypertrophy, an increase in size with no change in the number of cells. If you look at a liver, if you look at a kidney, if you look at a brain, if you look at a heart, if you look at a spleen, if you look at bone marrow, if you look at bone cells in the cortices of the bone, if you look at lung, if you look at pancreas, if you look at the cells of the intestinal tract, if you look at muscle cells, cartilage cells, and you see hypertrophy, which is an increase in the size. It's not hyperplasia, which is an increase in the number. It's hypertrophy, which is an increase in the size. That means, generally, you've got inflammation. Hypertrophy is an early marker for trouble, the kind of trouble you can get rid of fast. Because let me ask you a question. Before you have metaplasia, hyperplasia, hypoplasia, anaplasia, dysplasia 1, 2, and 3, before all these plasias set in, you know what you have? Inflammation. Can you put that together? Did you know that? If you listen to the show and you know that, good. Because really, it's the markers for inflammation that really is where you're supposed to work. You knock out the inflammation, you don't get to the more dangerous stages. I put a great picture of inflammation. Picture 37. A normal cell looks like a grape, an inflamed cell. One that's been ravaged. Looks hypertrophied or dried out and shriveled like a prune. The first stage of inflammation is the cell bloats out. You ever bloat out? You ever feel bloated, like your face is bloated? Like your body's holding water? That's because the body's holding water to dissolve, to diffuse the concentration of poisons that are inflaming the body. When you say, I feel so puffy, that puffiness is a sign of congestion, which is a sign of your inflammatory markers, which is a sign of inflammatory agents creating inflammatory signs, and the body draws in water and puffs you up. That's a protective mechanism, but nonetheless, it indicates an early inflammatory stage. If you look at the cells in that state, they're generally hypertrophied. You got to see what the reality is. Before you get the disease, you could pull out that organ, pull out that cell, look in at those cells, and see what's going on long before you even have a symptom. That's the future of medicine. And there's a lot of science in the statements I'm making. And that's why I ask the holistic community to get to that higher level. More education. More inquiry. More honesty. Because there's a hard science in prevention. A hard science. And we ought to be thinking about how to look at a person long before they show signs of dysplasia, anaplasia, metaplasia, and the rest of it. And there's ways to do that now, but they're not refined enough. They work, but there's too much empiricism involved. But they still work. But if we took 10% of the money we spend on finding new drugs and put it into finding new preventative markers, we'd have a whole new world. You want to talk longevity and a happy life? You want to talk about being radiant into your 90s? You want to talk about figuring out how to compensate yourself for the issues with the ecosystem? Think this way. Picture 37, a dried out, shriveled grape of a cell. Picture 41. There are tests. Get on the website, Straight Talk CC, the OxyScore test. It's a urine test. It measures 8-hydroxydiguanosine. That tells you the amount of DNA decay. There's fields on the dry field microscope, the amount of fibrin you're generating. There's lots of tests. Check Geneva Labs, the site Geneva Labs, for oxidative stress markers. You've got to know what your inflammatory state is so you can know what your foundation is that may move you towards metaplasia, worse yet, anaplasia. There's ways to know, and what to do is to get healthy in all the ways I've discussed today. What is this? This is show 322. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Take the time to do that. Learn what pathology histology is. Pick out your biopsies. Take a look. Make sure, unless they're normal, that you're on top of it. Don't be a victim. Most of all, get thermography. I put a link to a wonderful thermographer, Leslie Remington, down in Orange County. Very skilled thermographer. Thermography gives you a sense of your inflammatory state. And of course, as always, if you're lost in the labyrinth of help, give my office a call. Do this now. Don't do it later. Don't wait. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Great show. We will see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.